11-10. That's a good call. So, and Joshua turned back at that time and captured Hazor and struck its king with the sword, for Hazor formerly was the head of all those kingdoms.
Okay, Vicky's trying to get on.
So there are leagues of nations, and there are those that are more prominent than others, and those that are in a leadership role. And Hazor was the leader of those northern kingdoms. Verse 11.
And they struck with the sword all who were in it, devoting them to destruction. There was none left that grieved, and he burned Hazor with fire.
And all the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua captured and struck them with the edge of the sword, devoting them to destruction, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. So this is a commission that is given first by God to Moses, and then given by Moses to Joshua, and given by God to Joshua. And the pattern is the pattern of what was said to Moses, and that becomes very important in about 2-3 verses. Where are we? 13?
Joshua 11:13.
Yeah. But none of the cities that stood on mounds did Israel burn, except Hazor alone, that Joshua burned. 14.
The Israelites carried off for themselves all the plunder and livestock of these cities, but all the people they put to the sword until they completely destroyed them, not sparing anyone that breathed.
Okay. And verse 15, just as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. However, there's a however coming along now. Now, we find out that there's a lot of cities left that were not struck down and destroyed. And some of those that were destroyed were later rebuilt and then took up arms against Israel again. So how is this all that God had commanded Moses? Ready for the answer?
Yes.
When God commanded Moses to destroy the Canaanite nations, he told him not all at once, because then there will be an empty land and wild beasts will multiply. So you begin, and then there's somebody else. Mike.
Good. Well, hopefully Mike makes it in here. Let me do it there. Okay. You got it.
Yeah.
It's a wireless mouse and he doesn't like mice.
Store the cursor up near where you're needing it. My thing.
There you go.
So what God had told Moses actually was, you begin the work of clearing the Canaanite nations, but this will not be done in 1 year. It will take a while. It will take a while because it has to be done over a period of time, lest the wild beasts multiply. And so when this is passed on to Joshua, we should not expect that in the book of Joshua we will find all of the nations cleared out. We will find, as God commanded Moses, that it will be done over time, and it would continue to be done over time if the people of Israel continued to follow God. And, Mike disappeared. again.
He's having trouble.
He's having connection. Trouble. Okay. But that would be the pattern of things if the people of Israel would continue to follow the Lord. Because if they didn't continue to follow the Lord, then there was no promises for that eventuality. Where did we leave off?
Where 16. Are
we now? Now we're to 16. Okay. So now we're going to have a description of the land that was conquered. Verse 16, somebody.
So Joshua took this entire land, the hill country, all the Negev, the whole region of Goshen, the western foothills, the Arabah, and the mountains of Israel with their foothills.
Okay. And Delitzsch gives us descriptions of what the lowland means, what the Arabah means. Arabah, I believe, is a plateau area. Verse 17, from Mount Halak, which rises toward Seir, as far as Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, below Mount Hermon. And he captured all their kings and struck them and put them to death. Verse 18.
Joshua made war a long time with all those kings.
Ah, so it is a long time. It did not happen in 1 year. This is not a campaign that took a year and a half. It took a long time. And then I'm going back to my supposition that the army was formed of people doing tours of duty and then returning home, and others would do tours of duty. You can't have the entire nation, all of the men off in the army. Otherwise, who kills the spiders? Don't know where that came from.
Somewhere in that evil little brain of yours.
No one. They eat the mosquitoes and the moths. Yeah,
no kidding.
Okay, verse 19.
Except there. Camel spiders. Those are nasty things.
Oh. Big.
Our son was in the Middle East, so.
Yeah.
And they follow the troops as they go because they like the shade of the vehicles and stuff. So they'll run in the shade following the troops. And if they bite you, it swells up real big. Anyway, camel spiders.
Yeah, they're nasty.
Lovely. Lovely creatures.
There was not a city that made peace with the people of Israel except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. They took them all in battle. Of course, over time, there were some who became believers in God among various nations, such as Uriah the what?
Hittite.
Okay. Verse 20.
For it was the Lord's doing to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle in order that they should be devoted to destruction and should receive no mercy, but be destroyed, just as the Lord commanded Moses.
Okay, and I'm going to insert this again. Except for those whom God chose to win out of those nations. And there was a number of them. Verse 21, and Joshua came at that time and cut off the Anakim from the hill country, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from the hill country of Judah, and from all the hill country of Israel. Joshua devoted them to destruction with their cities. Who are the Anakim?
Dreaded and oldest inhabitants of Canaan, whose presence convinced the spies sent by Moses to rebel against the Lord because they were big.
They were huge. And fearful and fearsome.
Huge size wise?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Giants in the land.
Oh.
There were giants in the land. That's the Anakim.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So let's see. Verse 22.
No Anakim were left in Israelite territory. Only in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod did any survive.
From one of those cities came some guy by the name of Goliath.
That's what I was going to ask you, if Goliath was an Anakim.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their tribal allotments, and the land had rest from war. Okay. Chapter 12 is going to be a list of kings. Now, these are the kings of the land whom the people of Israel defeated and took possession of their land beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise from the valley of the Arnon to Mount Hermon, with all the Arabah eastward. And this will be east of the Jordan where the 2.5 tribes settled. Verse 2.
Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon. He ruled from Aroer on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, from the middle of the gorge to the Jabbok River, which is the border of the Ammonites. This included half of Gilead.
Gilead.
Oh, sorry.
Where there's a balm.
Yeah.
Balm in Gilead.
Gilead.
And the Arabah to the Sea of Kinnereth eastward, and in the direction of Beth Jeshimoth to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, southward to the foot of the slopes of Pisgah. Hmm. Verse 4.
And Og, king of Bashan, one of the remnant of the Rephaim, who lived at Ashtaroth and at Edra. I pronounce those names.
Yeah, and
good job.
And the Rephaim were another very large, gigantic people.
And Og was pretty sizable himself.
Mm-hmm.
He?
Mm-hmm.
Big king.
let's see. Does not the Bible describe his bed?
Yeah.
And the size of it. Okay. And ruled over Mount Hermon and Salaka and all Bashan to the boundary of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and over half of Gilead, where there's a bomb, to the boundary of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Okay. Verse 6.
Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the people of Israel defeated them. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave their land for possession to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh.
Okay. And these are the kings of the land whom Joshua and the people of Israel defeated on the west side of the Jordan, from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon to Mount Halak that rises toward Seir. And Joshua gave their land to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their allotments. I'm waiting for you guys to tell me when you want to leave off and just abandon the reading to me.
You go ahead. I don't know if everybody else agrees. Because that's
in the hill country, in the lowland, in the Arabah, in the slopes and the wilderness, and in the Negev, the land of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Okay, verse 9, somebody can read.
The king of Jericho won, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, won.
One what?
Verse 10.
What's the one? One what?
It's like king of Jericho, that's one. King of Ai, that's one. It's a tally.
Okay.
So verse 10.
The king of Jerusalem won, the king of Hebron won.
The king of Jarmuth won. The king of Lachish won. Verse 12, anybody?
The king of Eglon won. The king of Gezer won.
The king of Debir won. The king of Gedder won. The king of Hormah won. The king of Arad won. The king of Libna won. The king of Adullam won. The king of Makeda won, the king of Bethel won, the king of Tapua won, the king of Hefer won, the king of Aphek won, the king of Lasharon won, the king of Madon won, the king of Hazor won, the king of Shimron Meron won, the king of Akshaph won, the king of Tanakh won, the king of Megiddo won, the king of Kedesh won, the king of Jokneam in Carmel won, the king of Dor in Nephath Dor won, the king of Goyim in Galilee won, the king of Tirzah won, in all 31 kings.
I'm glad you read that part. Mike, can you hear us now?
I can. I had to reinstall Zoom.
Oh.
Mm.
Hmm.
Okay, couple notes. Adullam. Among the towns of the plain between Jarmuth and Soko was in the neighborhood of a large cave in which David took refuge when fleeing from Saul. It was fortified by Rehoboam. It is now known as the city of Adullam. Tanakh is the present Tel Tanakh, a flat hill sown with corn, while the old name has been preserved in the small village of Tanakh. Tirzah, capital of the kings of Israel down to the time of Omri, an elevated and beautifully situated place of a considerable size surrounded by large olive groves. You get a little bit of the tour from Dalich. So go on to chapter 13. Now, Joshua was old and advanced in years. And the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. There's an idiom in Hebrew. You are old and have come into years. Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Okay, verse 2.
This is the land that yet remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites.
Okay. From the Shihor, which is east of Egypt, northward to the boundary of Ekron, it is counted as Canaanite. There are five rulers of the Philistines, those of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, and those of the Avim. And there is another Hebrew idiom that comes in here. They refer to the territory around the towns as the circle of. So it's not just Gaza, it's the circle of Gaza, the circle of Ashdod, the circle of Ashkelon, the circle of Gath, the circle of Ekron. Think about Chicago metropolitan area would fit into that description of the circle of. So there were littler towns and there were hamlets, villages, farms, lands in a circle around a town where those living in the town, the princedom, you could say, would be the defenders of those in the surrounding area. So that they defend and those in the surrounding area have a reliable place where they can sell their grains and their produce. Nice relationship. Okay. Anybody want to take on verse 4?
Let me find it here. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites, from Arah of the Sidonians as far as Aphek, the region of the Amorites.
Mm-hmm. And the land of the Gebelites and all Lebanon toward the sunrise from Baal-Gad below Mount Hermon to Lebo Hamath. It would be the Lebanon Valley that would be from below Hermon and would be to the west and then north. So that it's a whole region of good and pleasant land. Okay, verse 6. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon to Mishrephoth Mayim, even all the Sidonians, God says, I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. Only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance as I have commanded you. So is Joshua dividing up the land before the land is conquered, certain parts of it? Yeah. Would seem to be. In which case, as the land is divided up, there are parts of it that will have very precise descriptions, and there are other parts where the description is very vague. The parts that are very vague are the parts that Israel hadn't gotten into and surveyed and gotten any reliable map making of those parts. And so they're general descriptions. And that's what we find as we go on and on in the book of Joshua. Okay. I didn't know that. Thank you to Delich. Verse 7.
Now, therefore, divide this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh.
Okay, because half the tribe of Manasseh went east of the Jordan, and the other half of the tribe was going to settle in the west of the Jordan. Okay. With the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond the Jordan eastward, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. Verse 9.
From Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, and the city that is one of the middle of the valley, is in the middle of the valley, and all the tableland of Medeba, as far as Dibon. Mm-hmm. I think you should have read that one.
Okay, tell you what, somebody read verse 10 and I'll read verse 11. And I'll also read verse 12.
And all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, as far as the boundary for the Ammonites.
And Gilead, and the region of Geshurites, and Maacathites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan to Salaka, all the kingdom of Og in Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth and in Edrei, he alone was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. So Og was the last of the Rephaim. These Moses had struck and driven out. Yet the people of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites or the Maacathites, but Geshur and Maacath dwell in the midst of Israel to this day. Okay. Verse 14.
But to the tribe of Levi, he gave no inheritance, since the offerings made by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he promised them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Moses gave an inheritance to the tribe of the people of Reuben according to their clans. Verse 16.
The territory from Aroer on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, and from the town in the middle of the gorge, and the whole plateau past Medeba.
With Heshbon and all its cities that are in the tableland, Dibon and Balmath, Bamoth Baal, and Beth Balmaon, and Jahaz, and Kedemoth, and Mephath, and Kiriathaim, and Sibma, and Zereth Shahar on the hill of the valley, and Beth Peor, and the slopes of Pisgah, and Beth Jeshimoth. That is, all the cities of the tableland and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses defeated with the leaders of Midian, Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba and the princes of Sihon who lived in the land.
Yay.
Yay. And verse 22.
Balaam also, the son of Beor, the one who practiced divination, was killed with the sword by the people of Israel among the rest of their slain.
So he met with a sticky end.
Yes, he did. Just to review, it's the guess on the part of a lot of scholars that Balaam, having done certain things and having pronounced those oracles which were in favor of Israel, wanted to be paid by the Israelites. And no, they weren't having any of it. So he went and helped the Midianites figure out how to get Israel in trouble with God. And once that was done, once everything was back in order after that, then the Israelites made war on the Midianites and the Ammonites and those in that area. And that's when Balaam met his end. He was given a gift by God and decided to use it for fun and profit. And that's never a good thing.
That's your phone. I'm going to go ahead and pause the recording. Okay.
Oh, Balaam. That's 13:22. And the border of the people, verse 23, and the border of the people of Reuben was the Jordan as a boundary. That would be on the west. This was the inheritance of the people of Reuben according to their clans with their cities and villages. Verse 24.
Moses gave an inheritance also to the tribe of God, Gad, to the people of Gad according to their clans.
Their territory was Jazer and all the cities of Gilead and half the land of the Ammonites to Aroer, which is east of Rabbah, and from Heshbon to Ramoth Mizpah and Betonim, and from Mahanaim to the territory of Debir, and in the valley of Beth Haram, Beth Nimrah, Sukkot, and Zephon, the rest of the kingdom of Sion, king of Heshbon, having the Jordan as a boundary to the lower end of the Sea of Kinnereth, eastward beyond the Jordan. Verse 28.
These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the Gadites, clan by clan.
Mm-hmm. And Moses gave an inheritance to the half tribe of Manasseh. It was allotted to the half tribe of the people of Manasseh according to their clans. Anybody want to take on verse 30?
Their region extended from Menenheim through all Bashan, the whole kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 60 cities.
And half Gilead and Ashtaroth and Edrei, the cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. These were allotted to the people of Machir, the son of Manasseh, for the half of the people of Machir, according to their clans. Okay, verse 32.
This is the inheritance Moses had given when he was in the plains of Moab across the Jordan east of Jericho.
Mm-hmm. And verse 33 has something very nice written in it. I'm going to let somebody else read verse 33.
To the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance, as he promised them.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
God himself made himself their inheritance. It's a sweet way of saying it. And it says at the end of that verse, just as he said to them. So that would be, at one point, God would be saying to the Levites, I will be your inheritance. Okay. Those go quick when it's reading through places where we don't exactly know the location. We have the general gist, and that's about all that we need for this, which puts us into a fourth chapter on the day.
Wow. So was Moses a Levite since Aaron was mm-hmm. a Levite mm-hmm. and his sons were Levites?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about Joshua? Joshua was the tribe of Judah, right? No, I don't know.
I forget. Okay. Honestly, I forget. Mm-hmm. Okay. These are the inheritances that the people of Israel received in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar, the priest, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel gave them to inherit. Verse 2.
Their inheritance was by lot, just as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 1/2 tribes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ephraim.
So,
Joshua, son of Nun, of the tribe of Ephraim.
Oh, okay.
I had to look it up. Okay.
So their inheritance was by lot. It was random. Should we look at then Psalm 16? Which reflects this whole thing. So verse 16 is a miktam of, or Psalm 16 is a miktam of David, which is this a musical term, or is it a description of the type of pattern of thinking that is in it? We don't know. Gonna pick up in, well, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Verse 4, the sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Verse 5. Someone.
Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup and have made my lot secure.
Okay. So because everything was divided up by lottery, think in terms of the whole land is divided up section by section, and there's descriptions like you have on your property taxes, the description of what the lot is. And first off, it's bundled into bigger sections, and each section is then assigned to a tribe, and then down into the divisions. And finally, the head of a family steps forward, and think in terms of drawing a piece of paper out of a container, an earthenware vessel, a hat, whatever you have. He draws that out, and that is his inheritance, where he is given that portion by lot to make of whatever he will. It may be hill country, and he's going to be dealing in timber. It may be a pleasant valley and he will be a farmer and raise crops. It may be a place where there already are grapevines or olive trees on it. And that will be what he makes of it. Whatever. And then you go from there. And what does David say in... You know, you have made my lot secure, or you hold my lot. But verse 6.
Boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance.
Mm-hmm. And how did it happen that you were given that inheritance? Who gave it to you? It was God. Now, the psalm teaches us, and this part becomes very important. It teaches us to look back over our lives and to say, this is the lot that is given by God to me. It involves, it includes people that I love. It includes joys in life. It also includes every difficulty, affliction, and trouble that I will face. Would I trade it? Would you trade your life for another's life? There are whole movies made on that theme.
Changing places or whatever, trading places.
Yeah. Now, if you could go back and things were reversed, and instead of the course of your life being what it is, it might be different. You might have a bigger house, more money. And one of those, bigger house, more money, and more beautiful wife. And as that one movie that I'm thinking of goes on, the guy decides that he really does miss what he had. Everything's so very nice, but it's not his life. And he wants it back. The lesson is to look at our lives and to say, every step of that way, every day, every moment has been my time with God. It is from him. It is given to me. Would I trade what God has given to me? Would I want to? In a passing whim, yes, sometimes. But no, this is where God has walked with me through all of the troubles of life, and where he has given me all of the joys of this life. It is where he has dealt with me where I have fallen short and have sinned. These are my sins that he has forgiven. They're not somebody else's. These are part of my relationship with God. Every part of it is a relationship with God, and I would I want to lose that walk with God that I've had over the years? And no, this is my relationship with God. It's mine. It doesn't belong to anybody else. And then to look back over it and say, the lot has fallen for me in pleasant places. There is a goodness in all of it, whether it is good or troubled. There's a goodness in it because it's God's walk with me. And I'll treasure that. So that's my meditation. Stepping forward and grabbing your property tax receipt out of the big barrel, and now you have to move there.
Your property tax receipt.
Okay, where did we leave off? There, oh, verse 2. So verse 3, for Moses had given an inheritance to the 2.5 tribes beyond the Jordan, but to the Levites, he gave no inheritance among them. He's belaboring the point, isn't he, this writer? Verse 4.
For the people of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and no portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only cities to dwell in, with their pasture lands for their livestock and their substance.
For the people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They allotted the land. And then we're going to go into some specifics. Verse 6. Oh, there's troublesome names. Okay. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. Verse 7.
I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart.
But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 9.
So on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. Now behold, I am this day 85 years old. Well, isn't that interesting? We could do a little math and figure out how long the conquest took.
5 years?
5 years at most. Yeah. Well, actually, no. Could be 6 years. Could be seven. Because there was time from coming out of Egypt, and that measures 40 years from Egypt to...
Mm-hmm.
And then there was... No, there was 2 years. Then there was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness.
Right, and he was 40 years old when they
and it was 40 years. So five years. We got it figured out now. First half of the book of Joshua took 5 years. And verse 11.
I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming.
And that's my line.
Yeah. Lucky him.
Yeah. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Verse 13.
Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave the Hebron to Caleb and the son of Jephunneh for an inheritance.
Okay. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Hey, we did four chapters, didn't we? And it's now about time to finish.